All right. I never have understood this. We pray for rain, and God brings rain, and we're too afraid to get out in it to go to church. But God still is faithful. Amen. If only we could learn to be faithful like He is. What a tremendous time we would have as individuals, not counting what we could do with the church. So pray for the people that are not here. I mean, rain might not even be the reason, but there's a lot of sickness going around too. So just be lifting them up in prayer this week and see what happens next week. Amen? Yeah, 50 years is a long time. And, you know, I noticed the other day, though, I was thinking back, and really, it's not very long. when you look back over your life, it seems like things just went by so fast. And but it's great to have someone who loves you and who's willing to stand with you no matter what, to walk through those 50 years. Amen. And God gave me one. And there she is, looking for something. Can we help you, or you just... Okay, all right. Looking for a baby. All right. Well, this morning I want to talk about manifesting the kingdom of God. And, you know, we hear that term, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And you know, we think, oh, well, that's, you know, that's out there after I, you know, go to be with the Lord. That's the promise. But really, if you would just catch the vision, the kingdom of God is your life here on this earth. I mean, God has a kingdom, yeah. But God wants that kingdom to be released here on this earth. That's why Jesus told us when you pray, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how's it ever going to come and function and be demonstrated on the earth if we don't do it? We are the ones God has chosen to demonstrate that kingdom. Okay? So we're going to look at the kingdom from three different perspectives this morning and just see what the Spirit of God will teach us individually and maybe awaken our own spirit to something that we need to be doing and we haven't been. The very first message about the kingdom of God came out of the mouth of John the Baptist. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now notice he didn't say it was there yet, but he's saying it's coming. It's coming. And this powerful and redemptive message he preached the whole time he was in the ministry and at the same time was awaiting for the appearing of Jesus. And then when Jesus does appear, the same powerful redemptive message Jesus himself preached for 3.5 years. That was the extent of his ministry when God the Father released him to minister on the earth. And it's truly a powerful message if you ever get into it and begin to see how it applies to you. Because when you let it be applied to your life, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You can't just go to church as usual. There's something inside of you changes. So there are three concepts of the kingdom of God that I want us to see this morning, and I believe they're evident in Scripture. There's the pre-kingdom, the former kingdom, and the latter kingdom. The pre-kingdom, the former kingdom, and the latter kingdom. And I want us to look at these just a few minutes just to see what we can learn this morning. Now, the pre-kingdom of God did come during the preaching of John the Baptist. And John comes out of the wilderness, a scruffy-looking man, according to Scripture. had a coat of goat hair, and he ate honey and something else. I don't know. He'd been out in the wilderness all this time, God preparing him for what he was about to do. And he came preaching. And his audience was the religious crowd who at that time had fallen into legalism and works. In other words, they were the temple, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the priests, the scribes, all of those leaders, and they had been leading people in the wrong direction. And they had literally perverted the law of God. They took it and they turned it into something that looked like them instead of what God intended for it to look like. So here comes John, and he's preaching his very first message, and guess what it is? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, if you've been around much in church, you sooner or later you're going to hear the definition of the word repent. But it means to change your mind to line up with what God is saying. In other words, quit thinking that you know what it means, but line up with what God is thinking and what God is saying, and even what God has already said. Repent, turn away from where you were headed, and start following the pathway that God shows you. And this is going to lead into a change in your life, whether you like it or not. It's going to change your conduct, and it's also going to enable you to begin to reject sin instead of embracing sin. We don't probably realize it just how often, every day, that we have the tendency to embrace the sin around us. But God has called us to reject that sin because Jesus died for that sin to be rejected. He died so that it wouldn't affect your life. And if you go in and embrace it, then it's going to affect your life. And the only way to come out of it is through the same repentance. And so John was very bold in his preaching. Doesn't say that he was a real loud person or speaker. But there was one thing noticeable about him. And this is what I want to point out this morning. There were no signs and wonders following his preaching. He was preaching the kingdom of God. He was calling for the kingdom of God to come to earth, just like the Father had said. But there were no signs and wonders following him. And for John, this is what God had designed. This is the way that God purposed for John not to be involved in that part. He just wanted John to proclaim to the religious bunch of people, the religious church, the religious crowd, of what God wanted them to see about the kingdom. And he was a man also that God had sent to prepare the way of the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus had already been born. He'd been growing up on the church for 30 years. And now here he comes after to step into a 3.5-year ministry, preaching the gospel. Now, in our day and time, we have so many preachers. Well, first of all, we have so many denominations, it's unreal. But we have so many preachers that are like John the Baptist. They can preach. They can preach everything from heaven to hell. They have big churches. But like John, there are no signs and wonders. They've not learned about the kingdom of God. And those who have heard about it, they reject it. They refuse to receive it. And churches are filled with born-again believers who have no signs and wonders following them. And if you understand Scripture, that statement should alert you to something being wrong. Every church, every born-again believer should have some form of signs and wonders following them. So you see, they are in direct, or back then they were, and even today they are in direct opposition to what Jesus spoke about signs and wonders and Christians. And we can find that in Mark chapter 16, if you'll turn there, or get Jesse will put it up on the overhead. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They're going to follow who? Believers. Believers. Are you a believer? I hope so. That's the only way you're going to get into heaven, is to be a believer. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Whose name? In the name of Jesus. You can use in the name of Jesus. You can use his full name, Jesus Christ. You can even use Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But it's in his name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And let me tell you, I am here today, and I've heard every word of opposition that people speak against this. I've heard that all passed away when Jesus died. It all passed away when the apostles died. Passed away this, and we don't do that anymore. We don't have to worry about that. Yet I find absolutely nothing in the Word of God that will support their arguments. This is the truth. This is what Jesus said, the signs and wonders that are going to follow believers. Amen? And so, what right do we have to change it? Instead of changing and arguing, we need to be pursuing the heart of God. We need to be pursuing the truth of what God speaks. And that truth is what I just said, that Jesus said. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a verse that Paul shared with us about a people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And that's exactly what has happened here. People hear this and they deny it. They see that it's not in their lives, and yet at the same time they don't want it into their lives because it might embarrass them or it might call attention to them. But look, people, as being Christians, as being born-again believers, we are to be sharing a gospel with people, not hiding it from them. We're to be following Jesus down this pathway just like he did, showing people and demonstrating the kingdom of God in order to bring people into that kingdom through Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? Because so many people, they hear this and yet at the same time they just let it go on by without receiving it. And listen, we're not called to be followers of John the Baptist, okay? In fact, let me just tell you, we're not called to be any follower of a pastor who is not walking in signs and wonders, period. If we're supposed to be who we really are. And what we are called to be are disciples of Christ Jesus. Disciples. The word disciple means to follow after. Follow after. And so when Jesus came following John the Baptist, things began to change. Do you understand that? Things are fixing to change. Now, the ministry in the time of Jesus is what I call the former, F-O-R-M-E-R, kingdom of God. The former kingdom of God. There was a set time when Jesus preached a message, and that message demonstrated the kingdom of God, and it set an example not only for the hearers to follow, but it set an example for you and I to follow as disciples of Christ. Now, what was the message that Jesus was preaching when he came on the scene? It was the same as John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus came to release the kingdom of God into this earth, to start an opening where the kingdom of God could begin to flow down into this earth. And it was designed to continue to flow through born-again believers. You see, there has to be a receiver that when the kingdom comes from heaven, there has to be a receiver down here on earth to receive it and demonstrate it to people around them. It can't just come down from heaven and hit the ground and bounce right back up to heaven. It has to be received, and it's supposed to be received in the hearts of the believers. You see that? Now, Jesus said that signs and wonders will follow those that are believers. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Now the question is, are you seeing signs and wonders following you? Good question. But it's worthy to be answered. You see, if we're not seeing signs and wonders following us in our daily lives, then we need to repent. We need to seek out the heart of God and find out what's wrong here, Lord. Why are we not seeing any? I didn't say, you know, it had to be every minute of every day. But there should be some examples following you that other people have seen that have awakened them to the kingdom of God and the life that Jesus laid down on that cross. We need to change our way of thinking and start thinking like God thinks and start agreeing with Him and His Word instead of just following our own hearts and trying to do our own thing. I was really shocked the day I finally realized that as a born-again Christian, you don't have an own thing anymore. If you're truly sold out to Jesus, the only thing that you have is the kingdom of God in Him. Amen? And nothing else is going to matter. Absolutely not going to matter. Now, this is also the pattern that the church today should be following. And Jesus says that if we believe, then we can do it. If we believe, there's absolutely nothing impossible for us to do. But yet most Christians have never caught that concept. They've never even considered it. And that's what I want to see change about this church, about, you know, you and I as fellow believers in Christ. I want to see us begin to see the kingdom of God and begin to demonstrate the kingdom of God this year. There are Christians all over the world who are doing what I call the stuff. The things that happen in the kingdom of God, the signs, the wonders, the miracles. They're doing it without hesitation. Everywhere they go, they run into people that God wants them to minister to. And they are faithful, they are obedient, and they minister what God puts in their hearts. The blind eyes are opening. The deaf ears are hearing. The sick are being healed. And even the hurting are being restored and the captives are being set free. And I know it's hard to believe, but in parts of this world, even dead are being raised. The dead are being raised. And you know what? Most of that signs and wonders or miracles, whatever you want to call it, often happen in the third world countries. And you want to know why? Because they believe. They truly believe. And they have the faith to back up their belief. I mean, when you truly have nothing, absolutely nothing, and you get sick, and somebody comes along and says Jesus can heal you, they believe it. And they see great healings and even people being raised from the dead because of that faith. I saw this demonstrated many a time in Mexico. Not just along the border here necessarily, but on, even on down into Mexico, where you go down and you find a lot of poverty. But you start talking about Jesus meeting all of their needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and they just believe it. They don't argue. They don't, you know, they don't ask you, you know, well, what if or what's that or, you know, nothing. They just receive it into their hearts. And great things begin to happen in the lives of those families and those villages. And so it's real. It's real. But my question is, what's wrong with us here in America? Are we so blind that we cannot see what's happening? Or is it that we just don't really care? I think it's a whole lot of the reason that America's in the shape that it's in is because the church allowed it to come to be. There's not enough Christian people in the churches to take a stand for the kingdom of God. And now all of a sudden our country is falling apart. Everything that this nation was built on is being destroyed. And the church is sitting back doing absolutely nothing. I don't know how many million professed Christians there are in America. But what do you think would happen to the United States of America if every one of them stood up every day and began to carry out the commission of bringing forth the kingdom of God into this nation? They walked every day demonstrating that kingdom, seeing the sick healed, the blind eyes opening, deaf ears hearing, the lame walking. I guarantee you we'd see a revival in this nation unlike has ever been seen in the history of the world. But it's not happening because we won't receive what God has given us. See, we're believers that have access to a power. And that power was released over 2,000 years ago. And it hasn't run out. The church hasn't depleted it. It's still in place. And we have an inheritance of a brother who came and died for us so that we could have that power. So that we could have the kingdom of God here on this earth as it is in heaven. But what do? We sit idly by and do nothing. Now, Pastor, that's a hard thing to say. But if you've been around me very long, you'll know that I speak the truth. When I was called into the ministry, golly, it's been a long time, 30-something years ago. I told God then, you know, that I'm not going to preach unless you show me what to preach. And then I want it demonstrated. I want to know it's true. And you know, God has never let me down. He's never let me down. And so what I'm declaring to you today is what the Word of God says. It's not some, you know, program that we need to get ourselves involved in and, you know, have seven steps of developing the kingdom of God. No, it's just get out and do the stuff. If you're a believer, get out and do the stuff. That's the program. It's God's program. And we haven't done anything with the former gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached that releases that power here on this earth. Now, we've seen multitudes saved in America and even around the world, because we have missionaries that go all around the world. We have evangelists that go all around the world seeing people saved and all. So we've been faithful in that area. But let me ask you a question. What are they being saved to? What are people being saved to? In fact, why don't you ask yourself the same question this morning? Just what are you saved to? You got saved. Jesus came into your heart. But what did he come in for? You see, we want to look at it from a selfish perspective, which, I mean, I don't blame us because we needed it. But we look at it is because Jesus came and saved us from our sin. He washed us and cleansed us and purified us by his own blood. And even if we slip up in sin after that, Scripture says that he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of his Son. So God wants to take care of us, but what are we doing taking care of what God told us to do? And for the most part, we're not doing anything. Now, Jesus made a statement in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. He said, "Verily I say unto you that among them that are born of women, here has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." I don't know if you've ever sat down and read the story about John, but John was an awesome preacher. And John was just like God wanted him to be. He didn't mince the truth. He told it just like it was. And it was a hard ministry too, because all these Sadducees and Pharisees and all them, they were hard-headed. And they didn't want nobody talking to them, let alone preaching to them. And so John stood it even to the place where eventually he was beheaded. But he was faithful to what God called him to be. Amen? So who are we to say, well, you know, I just don't think I can do that. Or, you know, I'm bashful. I don't know how to communicate to people. You know, all of those excuses mean absolutely nothing to God. He gave you something to do, and now he wants you to do it. What Jesus is saying here is that up until that time that he began to preach and release the kingdom of heaven, there was never, ever born anyone that was greater than John the Baptist. But as born-again children of God. Now remember, when John the Baptist was on the scene, Jesus was still alive. Jesus had not died for anybody yet. He didn't shed his blood yet. But if you and I do just a little bit as born-again believers, if we do just a little bit in the kingdom of God, furthering the kingdom or demonstrating the kingdom, then Jesus says, we are greater than John. We're greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because we have access to a power that John the Baptist did not have. We have a power to be witnesses of Jesus Christ that John never had. And we ought to not take that for granted. We should not take that lightly, because it's an awesome responsibility that God has given us. So, up until this point, do you understand what the Word is saying? I'm not going to put my name in there, but do you understand what the Word of God is saying? So, let's go on to there's another generation now that we need to look at. It's a generation that will experience what I call the latter kingdom of God. The latter kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 14:12, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that what? Believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Jesus is saying, when I lay down my life and I'm raised up and I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, and people begin to understand the fullness and the truth of the gospel that I left on that earth, then those people should begin to do the kingdom of God. They should begin to demonstrate the kingdom of God. But there's coming a time when there's going to be an even greater outpouring on those people. There's going to be a generation that's going to do even greater things than I did. Jesus is telling us, you know, if you're born again, you're going to be greater than John the Baptist. But if you happen to be there when that generation is raised up, you know, in the latter days, you're going to do even greater things than I did. And that blows my mind. Because I read about all of the miracles and signs and wonders that Jesus did, and I barely see any in my life like that. And yet there's a time coming when even greater things are going to be possible if we'll just believe and begin to demonstrate what he gave us. You see, this generation of believers are going to be radical believers. Radical believers that will not take the impossible for an answer in anything. Radical. What's happening in our nation right now? There's an ethnic group of people who are stepping out and getting radical. And there's going to be more and more people that are going to join them. And they're going to get more radical. And so don't you think it would be the greatest thing that ever happened to us if we would stand up and become the radical human beings that God created us to be? Think about it. What would turn the hearts of a group of radical people just instantly? To see a radical miracle happen right in their midst. And I believe it's going to happen one day. There's going to be several instances that are going to happen that are going to awaken a people to see that violence is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Amen? Jesus is the answer. And I believe this passage of Scripture that I'm going to read right now, Matthew 11:12, I believe it's also a prophetic statement. It says, as from the days of John the Baptist until now, this is Jesus speaking, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me read that again. And from the days of John the Baptist, and notice how Jesus always uses John the Baptist as a starting point. But as from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, first of all, in context, if you read this in context, I believe that in this verse, Jesus is talking about the 12 disciples that Jesus gave all power and authority to before their time. Again, when Jesus gave the disciples power and authority, Jesus was still alive. Salvation was not present yet. And so these men had the ability to receive all power and authority as Christians, as born-again believers, but that hadn't happened yet. So Jesus gave it to these people that followed him. And if we also look at it prophetically, I believe there are other times, even throughout history, when men and women have risen up and gone beyond the generation in ministering the kingdom of God here on this earth. We haven't even got to the place where the even greater things are going to happen. But throughout history, there's been a witness throughout the course of history where these men and these women have been able to stand up and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Remember last week we talked about how things have come, almost just disappeared. And then all of a sudden, through generations, salvation began to become an even greater event of people preaching. And you were seeing sick people healed and lame people walking. And it's like it just happens and happens and happens. It keeps it alive until suddenly there's a generation that is raised up that's all they know. That's all they want to know. And that's how salvation has come to where we are at today. But folks, we need the signs, the wonders, and the miracles to have come down through history and make it a powerful presence in this day and age. And God has called us to be that agent, that witness in this hour. This word violent or violence does not mean what we normally think that it means. We think there was, when you hear violent, you think there's some physical contact or, assault or whatever that has come against the kingdom of God. And that's not what this word means. But our English word has other meanings beside that. And one of them lines up with the Greek word that we're looking at here. And this word violent, listen to this, this word violent means literally to exert energy of some kind to go beyond where anyone else has gone. Let me repeat that. Violent literally means to exert energy of some type to go beyond where anyone else has gone. And of course, by the Spirit of God, those who have translated the Bible, I believe the Amplified Version catches the concept that God is really talking about here. Let me read that same verse again that I read a while ago. Violent men are people driven by spiritual desire and energy, seize it, the kingdom of God, they seize it by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with a most deliberate zeal and intense exertion. And that's what God wants to see. He wants to see a people seize the kingdom of God and begin to just pour into it everything that's within them, such a zeal and a passion for it that the kingdom of God is just going to explode on this earth. Do you see that? And that's what God wants for us as a generation of believers. And people who have caught the revelation of this kingdom of God will put all of their spiritual energy into pursuing the kingdom of God right here on this earth in order to capture the blessings and the benefits of this kingdom and bring them into impossible situations here on this earth. You see, we need to be that generation, that believer, that we call down the kingdom of heaven, we call down that power of the kingdom of God and release it into a situation in somebody's life. And when we release it into a situation, that's when we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles happen. And God is looking for a people like that who want to just sell out to releasing the kingdom of God. Sell out. Give it all. Not holding anything back. And we all have that ability. And we all have that opportunity. You can do it. Because God says that you can. And I believe that generation is active right now. It's not, we don't have to sit back and think, well, I'm not one, but we'll just sit back and see who it is. No, I think they're already here. I think that's why there's so much opposition in our world today, especially in our nation. I think that's why there's so much opposition to things of God and His kingdom right here in the nation that we live. And slowly but surely, we are losing everything inch by inch because we're not standing up and taking power and authority that Jesus gave us and take a stand for what is right, for what is holy. So the real question in all of this, you call yourself a believer. We call ourselves believers. But do you really, really, really trust in Christ? Do you trust in Christ alone for your salvation? See, there's nothing else that we can put our trust in. Not any denomination, not anything that resembles Christianity. We can only put our trust in Him and then have that assurance in our heart that has been given to you by Jesus that He took your sins away. Over the years, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that I've run into that call themselves Christians, and you get to talking to them and you ask them about their sin, and they didn't even believe that Jesus forgave them. They never believed that Jesus washed away their sins with His blood. They never knew that there was any redemption for anything if they sinned from the time that they received Him. And who's responsible for this? Who is at fault in all of this? Well, we can say the church, because that's easy to say, you know. That takes it off our shoulders. Or we can say the pastor, he's the one that did it, yeah. Or the leadership in that church, yeah, they were responsible. But let me tell you who God's going to say is responsible. And this is the one you better be listening to. Because God is going to say, you are. If you're not demonstrating the kingdom of God, bringing people into that kingdom, then God sees you as responsible. God loves you. Has nothing to do with changing the heart of God about loving you. But let me tell you right now, God is grieved because we are not doing what He empowered us to do. He's grieved. And I don't know about you, but He's one I don't want to grieve. In fact, it literally hurts my heart to think about grieving God. After all of the things that He's done for me, especially what I started off with after 50 years of marriage, all the things that God has done for Colleen and myself in our married years, it grieves me to think that I may have grieved Him. But you see, my life is not over. So I have opportunity. I have opportunity to seek forgiveness and repent and just get busy doing what God says to do. And if I've been doing some of it and it's been good, well then get to doing more. You see, I've always believed in signs and wonders and miracles. I've always believed that God can heal the sick. God can raise the dead. I believe all of that. But I need to get busy doing more and more instead of what I've been doing. And we all do. We're all guilty of this. And so it's time to change. Now, settling your salvation is important. You have to have that assurance. You know, you're a believer, so you have that assurance in you that you are saved. You are born again. And nothing is going to take that away from you. But then we are saved by grace through faith. That's what the scripture says. We're saved by grace. Grace means we couldn't do it on our own. Only God could do it, and He did it for us. So by faith we believe it. And faith is what carries you from day to day in complete assurance of your salvation. In fact, it wouldn't hurt people to just confess every day, you know, I am saved by the grace of God. I know who I am and I know where I'm headed. Amen. And after you repeat that for, you know, 20 or 30 years, I don't think you'll have any doubts about who you are. Me, I don't know if I've got 20 or 30 years left, but I started it a long time ago. And it's going to be faith that's going to bring you that peace that passes all understanding. I'm telling you, it's marvelous. And people think I'm a strong person, but I'm not. But no matter what situation I found myself in, there's always been that peace that passes all understanding. And I know standing in that peace, in that faith, God's going to carry me through. Amen. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have that kind of assurance that God cares about me. And God cares about you in the same way. So, salvation comes from faith in Christ, period. And Jesus confirms this in John chapter 6, verse 47. Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Amen. What a promise. What a gift. Didn't cost me anything but my life. And I'm willing to lay down my life. And that's what it's all about. Jesus laid down his life for us. And when we receive him, when we choose him, then we are to lay down our lives as well. Amen? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for everything that you do in our lives each day. And Father, we thank you for your word that you've given unto us, Lord. And Father, that word is what protects us. That word is what educates us. That word is what gives us the assurance of knowing whose we are. That we belong to you. And Father, we want to be found faithful in doing everything that you've called us to do. So, Father, just continue to enrich our lives with your word and your Holy Spirit. Just continue to speak into our hearts the things that are so important to you, Lord. And let us not be fearful to pick up what you've already given us. And that's power and authority to bring forth the kingdom of God into this earth, to be able to speak unto to the lives of people who are hurting, who are in need, and to be able to bring forth change into their lives, Father, because of your kingdom. So we just give you all of the glory, Lord, this morning. It all belongs to you. Father, there are people seated here in this room this morning who are believers. And Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, that this word be guarded in their hearts while you take this word and work it in their spirits, Lord. Let it be guarded against the enemy. Father, we don't want to sit idly by and allow the enemy to come and steal this word again. Because most certainly he will, even from believers, he will come and steal the word. But we pray your protecting hand around this word, Lord, that it will be nurtured and that it will grow in the heart of every person in this room. And Father, that we step out in what you've called us to be. But Father, we just give you all of the glory, for you deserve all glory, honor, praise, and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.